on the KPFA website. For February 3rd, Lawrence Ross.
You're listening to 94.1 KPFA, 89.3 KPFB in Berkeley, 88.1 KLCF in Fresno, and 95.7 K248BR in Santa Cruz, and online at kpfa.org. Stay tuned for Hard Knock Radio.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Y'all ready for this?
Ladies and gentlemen.
94.1 KPFA.
What's up, fam? You're tuned to Hard Knock here on the Pacifica Network. On today's program, we continue with our coverage from the 96 hours of action in connection to the Reclaim MLK weekend. All this and more ahead, so keep it locked.
I'm Cameron Jones with KPFA News Headlines. Senate Democrats today narrowly blocked legislation that would slow the entry of refugees from Syria and Iraq to the United States. The vote was 55 to 43, with yes votes falling short of the 60 needed to advance the Republican-backed measure. Among other things, the bill would halt the admission of refugees and require high-level U.S. officials to verify that each refugee from Iraq and Syria posed no security risk before being allowed into the United States. Democrats tried and failed to reach a deal with Republicans to set up a vote on an amendment establishing a religious test for would-be immigrants. Illinois Democratic Senator Richard Durbin says Republicans refuse to agree on a vote because they don't want to deal with a measure proposed by their party's presidential frontrunner, Donald Trump.
When we offer them a chance to vote on another statement by a Republican presidential nominee, Mr. Trump, about excluding people because of religion in the United States, they run like scalded cats.
It currently takes 18 to 24 months for Syrian refugees to be screened before they can move to the United States. President Obama pledged to offer support for the drinking water crisis in Flint, Michigan today.
Over the weekend, I declared a federal emergency in Flint to send more resources on top of the assistance that we've already put on the ground. We've designated a federal coordinator to make sure the people of Flint get what they need from their country.
Blame is swirling after a switch in the water supply to the financially strapped city of 100,000 north of Detroit led to elevated levels of lead in drinking water. Facing protests, lawsuits, and calls for his resignation, Michigan Republican Governor Rick Snyder apologized to the city's residents on Tuesday and called for the state to spend $28 million to fix the problem. Several lawsuits have been filed in the case. The latest on Tuesday asked a judge to stop Flint from issuing shutoff notices to residents who are still receiving bills for water declared undrinkable. Kurdish forces have bulldozed, blown up, and burned down thousands of Arab homes across northern Iraq in what may constitute a war crime. That's according to a report published today by Amnesty International. Amnesty International's Donatella Rovera authored the report.
You can see the tracks of the bulldozers and the pattern of destruction on the houses. These houses have not been blown up. They have been hit.
Amnesty also says Arabs who fled their homes have been barred by Kurdish forces from returning to areas recaptured from IS. Dindar Zabari of the Kurdish Regional Government denied the allegations.
There is
a new strategy planned by KRG to destroy or distract any component villages, any component setup in these neoliberate areas.
As for the forced displacement of Arabs, Zebari said the coalition had requested civilians to be kept away from areas close to the front line, and that Kurds, too, were prevented from returning to some recaptured villages for their own safety. Sierra Leone confirmed a new case of Ebola today, its second in less than a week, marking a further setback in efforts to end a two-year West African epidemic that has killed more than 11,000 people. A health official says the new patient is a 38-year-old woman, a relative who had helped care for an earlier victim who died from the disease on January 12. Legislation will be introduced at the San Francisco Board of Supervisors meeting next week, demanding that the city renegotiate its contract with the National Football League for hosting Super Bowl 50 due to rising costs. The move stems from a budget and legislative analyst report last week warning that taxpayers could be on the hook for nearly $5 million in expenses, up from around $4 million estimated by Mayor Ed Lee's office. The city currently faces a $100 million budget deficit. Supervisor John Avalos co-sponsored the legislation. He accused Mayor Lee of giving out corporate subsidies by not getting the NFL to foot more of the bill. He also accused the mayor of cutting the deal in secret, saying Lee had only recently released cost estimates. Oregon's governor is frustrated with the federal government's handling of the occupations of National Wildlife Refuge by an armed group. Governor Kate Brown says the government needs to end the occupation quickly and hold all of the wrongdoers accountable. Brown also says the government needs to pick up state expenses because of the siege. The solar system may host a ninth planet that is about 10 times bigger than Earth and orbiting far beyond Neptune. That's according to research published today by astronomers at the California Institute of Technology in Pasadena. Computer simulations show that the mystery planet, if it exists, would orbit more than 50 times farther than the sun, farther from the sun than Earth. So far, the planet has not been observed directly. I'm Cameron Jones. We'll have these stories and more on the Pacifica Evening News at 6. Stay tuned now for Hard Knock Radio.
Yo, this is M1 from Dead Prez.
Hey, what's up? This is Boots from the Coop.
Nah, I mean, telling you to stay tuned to Hard Knock Radio.
Keep it locked.
On the move, this is Pam Africa on Hard Knock Radio, the station of resistance. Down with this rotten-ass system.
Yo, check this out. Hard Knock Radio coming at you, bringing the noise. This is Chuck D, Public Enemy #1. News, views, and hip-hop.
Peace and love. This is Azeem. You're listening to Hard Knock Radio, real radio, from the concrete up. All the way to the sun. Keep shining, y'all. One love.
What's up, folks? This is your girl Femi representing the whole Bay Area. I'm here on Hard Knock Radio. News, views, and hip-hop. Stay tuned.
And again, you're tuned to Hard Knock here on the Pacifica Network. Sunday morning in San Francisco, California, members of the Anti-Police Terror Project and Asians for Black Lives, a Bay Area group of Asian community organizers, held a community intervention in front of Ed Lee's home to demand that he fire Police Chief Sir and all officers involved in the murders of Mario Woods, Amilcar Lopez, and Alex Nieto, as well as the immediate reallocation of city funds in order to provide affordable housing that allows Black, Brown, and other people of color to remain in San Francisco. At 6 a.m., activists woke the mayor with drums, gongs, chants, and verbal indictments of his political policy and moral complacency that has placed the city's Black and Brown populations at increased risk. 5 activists chained themselves to a table in front of his house, calling on Lee to honor Martin Luther King Jr.'s radical legacy by coming to the table to join them and standing with the Black Lives Matter movement.
People up front say no to war, we're fired up, won't take it no more. People up front say no to war, we're fired up, won't take it no more.
My Asian brother police officer is telling me,
rise up, rise up, rise up,
rise up, my people, rise up.
Tell me what you want, what you really want.
Justice.
Tell me what you need, what you really need.
Justice.
How we gonna get it?
People power.
How we gonna get it?
People power.
Tell me what you want, what you really want.
Justice.
Knocking the door of a neighbor.
Can you give it to me?
I'd like to leave it on his door, actually.
Can you give it to me? I can leave it on his door.
I'd like to give it to him directly.
People power.
Well, so are you saying that Ed won't meet with us?
I don't know what the mayor's going to do.
Yeah, so why don't you let us knock on the door?
You're not going to go up there. I'm sorry.
So
You can demonstrate right there. That's fine.
But we want to talk to him. We want to talk to Ed. We want to see what he has to say.
I'm not going to argue or
to
knock on the door. No, I'm just asking. Is it illegal to knock on the door?
Oh, we're not going to let you guys go up, so.
No, she's going up by herself. We're not going to demonstrate on the doorstep. It's not an argument, sir. It's not an argument. It's just a simple question. What is illegal about ringing the doorbell? How can you legally stop her? How can you legally stop her?
But under what law can she not go up? What law are you citing that states she cannot go knock on that door?
A statute, a misdemeanor, an infraction, any type of anything that would say that's illegal.
FFPD is not private security for Mayor Ed Lee, so why can't she knock on the door? Oh, there is no legal statute for why she can't knock on the door.
That's why he's not going to argue.
Mic check!
Mic check!
Ring the doorbell.
As fellow Chinese Americans, we're concerned about budget policies and dangerous people in power. Ed Lee, you continue to protect. That contribute to the murder and displacement of black and brown lives in San Francisco.
This is your wake-up call, Ed, to reconnect with your radical roots on this reclaimed MLK weekend. Are you going to stand with us as Asians for Black Lives on the side with justice? Are you going to have some delicious breakfast we prepared? We got some jokes. We got some yao kyu. Because these are the food of the people, and we want you to come out and have breakfast with us and talk about why you keep standing to protect the rich and the racists in San Francisco that continue to murder and push out black folks, African-American folks, low-income working-class folks of color, our Chinese-Americans, all of us who made San Francisco so great and keep pushing us out.
Mic check!
Mic check!
Ed Lee, if you are not going to have breakfast, you are sending a clear message that you will continue protecting murderers, the SFPD that stands in front of your door as your private security. You will continue to work for rich and the racist by trading the people, the lives, and the people of San Francisco. If you don't come outside to meet with us, we will not let you comfortably sleep while black and brown lives are evicted, homeless, incarcerated, and murdered. Wake up, Ed Lee! Blood has been shed!
Wake up, Ed Lee!
Blood has been shed!
Wake up, Ed Lee! Blood has been shed!
Wake up, Ed Lee!
Blood has been shed!
Wake up, Ed Lee!
Blood has been shed!
A statement released by the group Agents for Black Lives read, quote, "From gentrification to police terrorism, there is a war on black lives happening in San Francisco and across the nation. As Asian Americans, we refuse to be complicit in the violence that John's decisions have committed against our black siblings. We are ashamed that the first Asian American mayor of San Francisco is acting as a general in this war," end quote. Early that morning, I spoke with Albina Wong, one of the protesters that attempted to present Mayor Lee with a menu list of demands. hear her accounts of what happened when she and other peaceful organizers tried to approach the steps leading up to the San Francisco mayor's home.
So my comrade and I, Mabel, were trying to just nicely knock on his door, wake him up, invite him to the breakfast, but we were stopped by a blockade, a fence of, I guess, Mayor Lee's private security, also known as SFPD, who won't let us even walk up to his door. We have this nice little letter to explain why we're here today and also to really explain our demands today.
What are the particular demands?
So we want him to fire Chief Sir. We want him to terminate the officers, any officers involved with the murders of Mario Woods, Amilcar Lopez, and Alex Nieto. And we want him to reallocate city budgets to affordable housing for black and brown folks.
Can you also name the various organizations that have gathered this morning to come out in support of the particular demands, as well as Black Lives Matter, and to end police terrorism, not just here in San Francisco, but throughout the country?
Mm-hmm. So we're here with Agents for Black Lives answering the call from Anti-Police Terror Project to organize our own action to highlight these issues that are coming up in the Bay Area. So we are also joined here with our friends from APTP, as well as Black Seed, and a lot of individual activists, and a lot of other folks who also know that Mayor Ed Lee is responsible for all of these murders and also evictions of black folks from San Francisco.
Now, I have a couple more questions. The wake-up protest at Mayor Lee's home this morning is one of many demonstrations happening throughout this country this weekend as part of the 96-hour MLK call to action activities. Specifically, explain why MLK weekend was chosen.
Mm-hmm. We're really reclaiming MLK weekend. You know, the narrative that MLK was a nonviolent activist and didn't actually challenge struggles is easy for white America to accept and say that this was a peaceful leader. But we also need to remember his history of radicalism that fought against these racist policies and what was civil disobedience, like sitting at the lunch table years ago, is what we're doing here now and reclaiming that history and retelling that story, that this is also a part of our history of fighting back.
Something you said when I asked you the question of the particular demands, you mentioned Mario Woods.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned the firing of Chief Sir. Explain to our listeners why this is so very important.
Mm-hmm. Because as long as Mayor Lee continues to protect Sir in position of power, we're just saying it's okay. It's okay that our black brothers, black and brown brothers and sisters are getting murdered in the streets by taxpayer-dollared police. And you're continuing to leave people in power who are making these calls that say it's okay and we need to actually protect these other officers who are involved in these killings.
Last question. Maybe if you could talk about the larger context of organizing as it relates to challenging systems of oppression here in the United States.
Mm-hmm. A lot of times we talk about organizing, community building, because we all need to be more connected. But in this type of organizing, we need to really recognize who are at fault, who's protecting these systems that continue to allow black and brown lives to be valueless or murdered. And so when we are doing these types of actions, it's really important for us to be strategic, to be tactful, and to be really clear that we're not just a bunch of random folks coming together and stirring trouble, but this is really well planned out and really thought through about why we're coming here, who we're targeting, and what we're asking for. And that we are a huge community that is very coordinated.
Rather than respond to the demands presented by community members, Mayor Lee actively chose to have more than a dozen San Francisco police officers act as his personal security force by denying peaceful protesters the ability to approach his iron security door. But the mayor's lackluster response did not deter organizers. The collective continued to speak out against the injustices perpetrated by the state against black and brown people in this country. Two individuals that spoke were Kat Brooks, a member of the Anti-Police Terror Project, and Alex Tom, the executive director of the Chinese Progressive Association. First Kat Brooks, and later followed by Alex Tom.
I've less to say to him and more to y'all. First, just thank you for being out here. This is the second annual 96 Hours of Direct Action. It's been an incredible day, right? We saw Libby. We visited Wendt. We saw Sir. And we're talking to this guy. We did the Oakland Airport. McDonald's. We'll be at San Francisco Airport later tonight. But really, I'm not going to talk long because I know that I'm tired and delirious. It might not make too much sense.
But I just want to say, we can't stop, right? And I'm really clear that we're exhausted. I know you're tired. I know your husbands are tired. Your wives are tired. Your children are tired of you being out here. But this is when we have to figure out what the rotation is, right? Who rests while others work? How do we change up our strategy? Maybe this is the time for door knocking so we recruit more people into our movement so we can keep going. Because this is the time when movements break, right? This is what they're waiting on. That's why they're just standing there. That's why they let us roll up on Sir's house. That's why they got this hands-off policy, because they're waiting for us to exhaust ourselves. So those are my words to you now, is how do we rest in between the moments so that we can continue this work for the long haul? It is our duty to this generation to push the envelope, right? To break through the barrier that's sort of been up for the last 35, 40 years and get to the next side. To actually have something tangible to show for it. Self-determined communities that don't rely on police or state terror for safety, right? Self-determined communities where we've managed to shift the paradigm in our own mind and rejected the lie of white supremacy completely. And so that's the real work, and that's what we got to get to, right? And then we have to figure out how we take it up a notch, right? How do we continue to challenge this system? They're used to this now. This is great. We got to keep it going. But let's start to strategize and organize about what is the next step we have to take to get to the next level of this struggle. So thank you. Please rest. Please take care of yourself so we can remain engaged. Power to the people. I love you all.
Next we have Alex from CPA. And his little baby is so cute. Please give him a round of applause. You got a little mini-me.
How's everyone doing? Good morning. I'm here today to be in solidarity with everyone here, but I'm also here today to show that it's important for all of us to be standing up and to show that in this moment right now, we really need to reclaim the spirit of MLK, and we actually need to show that we need peace and we need justice. So we need to turn it up. We need to turn it up, right? I'm also here wearing multiple hats. Of course, I'm here as an individual, but I'm also, yeah, I'm also a father, right? Also a member of Left Roots, member of Asians for Black Lives. I work at the Chinese Progressive Association. I'm actually even a faculty member and a union member of AFT 2121. And I say all this is because we need to lift all our voices, all of our identities, and we need to make sure that the powers that be, in this case, for our Mayor Ed Lee, to know that the Asian community cares about this issue, is concerned about this issue. We need to call upon our elders and people like Ed Lee, who were part of the movement, to come and sit with us at the table. We also need to recognize that what's happening right now in the country with Black Lives Matter and this movement is nothing more than visibilizing the oppression and the exploitation that has already long existed in our communities. And that this is the moment that we need to step up, right? This is the moment that there's political space that's being created, there's political will that's being created, so folks like us and folks who are in power have political space to make things happen. So that's why we're here so freaking early in the morning. Is that right? And that's why we all need to step up. And I'm committed, I'm personally committed to bringing along our entire community, right? We need to bring hundreds of people out here on the streets. We need to bring our parents, our neighbors. We need to bring workers, tenants, everyone. But I'm also here just because I'm inspired by the moment and inspired by the new generation in our community, in the Black community and the Asian community, for stepping up and leading the way. So thank you all.
After Alex spoke, I was able to catch up with him for a brief talk. I began by asking him to describe what was taking place and why was it important for him to be there in solidarity with members of Black Lives Matter.
So in particular right now in the current moment, the Black Lives Matter movement has made the police killings of Black folks in San Francisco and the rest of the nation so visible, visibilizing a lot of the oppression and exploitation that's happening. And I personally feel that there is a political opportunity, a political moment, political space that has opened up for people in power, people in the community to really step up and make some changes. And these changes are just going to catalyze a much larger movement. And today, especially for MLK, the weekend, we need to reclaim that spirit and to remember what MLK stood for.
One thing that I thought was really significant is the fact that key Asian leadership in San Francisco and throughout the Bay have gathered here this morning to really challenge and question Mayor Adley's decisions around supporting Chief Sir, his refusal to really acknowledge what's taking place, and then also the death and murder, execution of Mario Woods here in San Francisco, as well as the other two men that have been mentioned as well.
As Asian Americans in the Bay Area, which is nearly 25% Asian Americans, and in San Francisco, where it's about almost 35% Asian Americans, we cannot stay silent on this issue. And for the people who are silent, we'll end up being used as a wedge. And oftentimes, Asian people are pitted against Black folks because of a lot of issues around displacement and gentrification and a lot of new families moving into Black communities. And so that's already happening because of the way the system fractures us and alienates us from each other so that we are divided. And so if Asian folks don't stand up, we are complicit to these divisions.
Based on your political actions, your involvement in the community, you're well respected, right? The fact that Mayor Adley has refused to be non-responsive and then also has San Francisco Police Department acting as his private security, refusing and denying entrance to not his house but just his door. What kind of message does that send to you as a taxpayer, as somebody who is involved on various levels as it relates to the Asian community as well as various other communities of color?
First off, this action and this event actually is very peaceful. And for a mayor who wants to be talking to all communities and reaching out, this is actually a perfect opportunity for that to happen. And this is not something that we had expected to see. And today we want to just spread the message that there are Asian Americans that do care in the Bay Area and that are involved in the Black Lives Matter movement.
Another person I spoke with about the Reclaim MLK 96 Hours of Action was Adam Jordan, a member of the Anti-Police Terror Project and the Onyx Organizing Committee. I began by asking him to talk about his interaction with San Francisco police officers once he and other organizers peacefully attempted to leave a list of demands at Mayor Lee's doorstep.
Well, when public servants become private security guards, when they deny a civil disobedience that is a constitutional right, when they deny people from simply ringing a doorbell or putting a letter into a under a door, they deny the actual grievance that these people have. So if I understand if we were out here being violent, vulgar, destructive, we're none of those things. We're having a civil disobedience because it is the least we should do in this epidemic of murder that we face today.
And you said something that I thought was really profound and on point. When you question the officers and you ask, is there a statute, is there a particular statute on the books?
I said, is it an infraction? Is it a misdemeanor? It's not a felony, because I understand trespassing and burglary, you have to actually enter the home. But if you are legally able to walk up to a doorway, even if the doorway says no soliciting, if you're not actually soliciting, you're not actually trying to sell something, you can still walk up to the doorway and say, ring, hello, I'm here to give you a letter. That's not illegal. Mailmen do it all the time. But this private security, the SFPD, or denying people access to even be able to speak with the mayor. And the mayor hasn't come out. The mayor hasn't looked out his window. In fact, earlier when we did wake up Chief Sir this same morning, Chief Sir didn't come out. Chief Sir did not look out his window. We saw him peek his little camera phone out and try to record us for a moment. But just like this, there was no interaction. But at least there at the police, at wake up Sir, we were able to get to the door and we were able to deliver accoutrements of our appreciation. We left some garbage for the garbage that he is.
What kind of message does that send to you directly and activists when you have city officials, you have Mayor Ed Lee, you have Sir, you know, all these different things? So this has been a part of the 96 hours of activism, right, on the eve of Martin Luther King Day, right? So this is one of many different things that have taken place and will continue to take place, right? But when these people refuse to even acknowledge, show face, have some representative, somebody to address the particular demands and concerns of taxpayers, voters, citizens, what kind of message is that sending you as an activist and organizer?
It's the same message that the police union sent. It's the same message that Police Officers Benevolency Association sends, that we're the bad guys and they're the good guys. I mean, the Police Officers Association has lied continuously and said that there's a war on police when it's a 20-year low of violence against police nationally. The entire year of 2015, 14.5% down. So 40-year high for police violence. And in the reaction that the police have to civil disobedience shows that they do not care for their community, that they care for the status quo. Ed Lee, Ed Lee, like Leland Yee, are corrupt political figures that make money off the backs of poor oppressed people by letting land grab developers take homes away and turn them into $6,000 apartments.
Why Mayor Ed Lee and why Chief Sir? Why are these particular folks been targeted in context also with the murder execution of Mario Wood?
Well, in particular, Chief Sir has a long and blighted history. He's the only chief that I've ever heard of that was demoted not once, but twice, and also indicted before he became chief. He was demoted directly before he became chief of police. 2003, Deputy Chief Sir was charged with allegedly conspiring to obstruct the investigation into the case of off-duty cops beating up two gay men and stealing their fajitas, also known as Fajita Gate. I was around in the Castro at that time. I remember when those men were jumped. They were robbed, and he helped cover it up. And he was indicted for that, but the judge, and look, when you're indicted, you usually get convicted, but the judge threw that out because at the time he was a captain of police force. Demotion number one, Chief Heather Fong at the time reassigned her to head of patrol to guard the city's water supply, reporting for mishandling a G8 protest where a police officer had a fractured skull. Demotion number two, sir is demoted to captain after failing to report a rape because a female or domestic violence charge because the female friend's boyfriend was a friend of his. 2011, sir, is elected newly by Ed Lee. See, this is called cronyism. Somebody who's demoted, who's indicted, demoted again, and then made chief. That's cronyism, of course, because of the money. Sir is then sued for retaliation by an SFPD lawyer who recommended his firing for the mishandling of the domestic violence incident, and he fired 2 weeks after becoming chief. The lawyer won the suit and settled out of court for $750,000. That's taxpayers' money. 2014, drug tester skimming supplies in crime lab jeopardizes thousands of cases. The whistleblower knew and said, the chief, sir, knew, and the police department knew that these people were being put in jail illegally. SFPD 2015, SFPD officers fatally shot Amilcar Perez Lopez. Sir's defense was that he was coming towards the officers with a knife, but the autopsy showed that the man was shot in the back. Okay, the exposure, 2015 March, the exposure of racist text exchange by more than a dozen SFPD cops jeopardizes thousands of cases, reveals a troubling culture inside the rank and file. April 2015, federal public defenders cast doubts on a Tenderloin drug sting that only indicted black people, despite surveillance videos showing people of other races attempting to sell drugs to undercover cops. In June 2015, Sir draws criticism for declining to pursue grant money to clear a backlog of rape kits and reverses his position and pledges to get the job done. July 2015, most of the political fallout from Kate Stennell's murder fall on Sheriff Roz Marcarimi, but the gun that killed her was stolen from a Bureau of Land Management car in the city. Police search but are unable to find the gun until it is used to kill Stennell, which also is used by presidential candidate Trump to villainize all South American and Mexican immigrants now. Because when Stinnell was killed, he says these people came over. He doesn't talk about the gun was from Bureau of Land Management. He doesn't talk about SFPD failed to find a stolen gun. This gun that was found on a bench by a mentally ill homeless man. But and the homeless man even said he's looking at murder right now. When he picked the gun up and it shot, he wasn't even trying to rob the lady. He was all the way down the pier. Well, and my last and not least, Mario Woods was shot and killed by 5 SFPD police officers. See,
we can't say shot and killed. It was a complete execution.
He was executed. The video, even other officers who do not wish to be named said it was atrocious. Even the officers I speak to, because I'll speak to a police officer, because I don't believe every single pig is bad, but see, the police institution is a white supremacist institution. So it doesn't matter if they're a black, white, or Spanish, or Asian. They're pushing an institutional line that destroys black families. The war on drugs was a war on black people, because when I'm 8 times more likely to go to jail holding the same amount of marijuana, that if there's 10 black guys and 10 white guys, 8 black guys are going to jail and 10 white guys ain't. That's not fair. That's not unbiased.
That just speaks to the list of demands, and in particular the firing, the man that Chief Sir must be fired, and removed completely from San Francisco Police Department or any kind of position of authority. Maybe you can talk, because you know right now Mayor Lee has been really quiet on that, but I see this as being part of what's happening nationally, where the demands have increased and it's about people being removed completely from office.
Well, like I was mentioned about the police union has made it so they are so strong and so powerful politically, we can't even get rid of the bad apples. Now, if you can't get rid of the bad apples, if you can't get rid of the people that are settling, that are dealing with innocent citizens with a gun, police officers who interact with people and pull their gun and use their gun more often than not, if you can't get those bad apples out of the barrel, the whole barrel's bad. So if we have an institution that doesn't even let us, if you're a carpenter and the homes keep falling down and killing people, they take your contract and license. If you were a doctor and you kept killing people on the surgery, you'd lose your medical license. But we can't get rid of these bad cops. And when we can't get rid of these bad cops, we can't get rid of these bad politicians. Because these politicians will say, oh, I spoke to the family when I did an interview on the news. I was speaking to them. No, you were speaking to a reporter on television. When the family asked for an apology, you said, I apologize. You never spoke to the family. What politicians do is lie and use their propaganda to reinforce their own idea of what they want to be going on and not the actual reality.
Help me understand, what's the next level of organizing or strategizing around removing these people from office? Is there a plan, a concrete plan, to put people in office that support a Black Lives Movement agenda, right?
I mean, I myself, being a black revolutionary, believe the system is broken. But there are many people within Black Lives Matter who have talked to city members and city council members that understand being people of color, we are beset upon by many, many sides. But we are losing our homes. We have lost our jobs. Our schools are closing and inadequate. When you are unable to get a high school diploma, you're 60% more likely to go to jail. A school to jail pipeline. The California prison system has built 22 prisons, and California has built one college in 40 years. 40 years. The last college that was built was Cal. 50 years ago when they finished building Cal. So this is the system that we have, and we do have politicians that do understand that our lives matter. Black lives, Asian lives, poor lives, all of these lives matter.
Last question. Kat mentioned about, you know, building more people coming out and being actively involved in these movements, right, in these actions, you know, because folks are exhausted. You know, we're seeing the same faces over and over again, and there's a need to actually have more people involved. This morning we have Agent for Black Lives, right? This is a call that they put out directly to challenge Marriott Lee and bring people from his own community you know, and answer directly to them, and he's refused to answer. But maybe if you could speak directly to the need to have more people become involved within this movement.
Well, one of the things that I remember about Occupy Oakland that I really enjoyed was that there were a lot of new faces that were people that cared about the community. Occupy Oakland had a lot of things that were completely wrong with it, and that's why it didn't work out. There's reasons things don't work out. But the thing about it, bringing new faces and new blood and new people who care about other people. See, that's the simple thing. Well, I don't care if you're white, yellow, green, blue, or pink. If you care about if you're a human caring about other humans, I'm willing to work with you. If you're going to judge me for my complexion or my theology or my sexuality or my gender and not how I act or my work, then I don't want to associate with you. When these people look at me as a assailant, they look at me as a perpetrator. I've been beaten up and arrested by cops for standing waiting for a light to change, and then them telling me I look like somebody that robbed somebody. This is the systems that we have to deal with right now. So I know that with Black Lives Matter, which kind of reminds me of the Occupy movement, except much more focused, with demands and with real leadership, with new faces coming in, with other people I've seen people from the old Occupy movement come be allies and help us, because without the liberation of our people, there is no liberation for any people. The Asians and Black Lives understand, without the liberation of the most oppressed, all people are still oppressed. So as soon as we're able to stop the oppression of us, then we can start working on the oppression of all. But you need to be coming out to be able to save people's lives, we need to change the process and the procedures of how police interact with us, and we need enough people to change the actual structure of the systems that work against us.
That was Adam Jordan, a member of the Anti-Police Terror Project and the Onyx Organizing Committee. You're listening to Hard Knock on the Pacifica Network. I'm Anita Johnson. Stay tuned.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure, we will be sure.
The heavens, no man, no weapon formed against, yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtapositioning us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, the spirit is revisiting us. True and living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walk through Ferguson with our hands up. When it go down, we woman and man up. They say stay down, and we stand up. Shots be on the ground, the camera panned up. King pointed to the mountaintop, and we ran up.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure, we will be sure. Oh, glory,
glory,
oh. Now the war is not over, victory isn't won, but we'll fight on to the finish, and then when it's all done, we'll cry glory, oh glory, oh, oh. We'll cry glory, oh glory, oh.
man, woman, and child. Even Jesus got his crown in front of a crowd. They march with the torch, we gon' run with it now. Never look back, we done gone hundreds of miles. From dark roads, heroes, to become a hero. Facing the League of Justice, his power was the people. Enemy is lethal, a king became regal. Saw the face of Jim Crow under a bald ego. The biggest weapon is to stay peaceful. We sing, our music is the cuts that we bleed through. Somewhere in the dream we had an epiphany. Now we right the wrongs in history. No one can win a war individually. It takes the wisdom of the elders and young people's energy. Welcome to the story we call victory. The coming of the Lord, my eyes have seen the glory.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure, we will be sure. Oh,
be neither rest nor tranquility in America until the Negro is granted his citizenship rights. The whirlwinds of revolt will continue to shake the foundations of our nation until the bright day of justice emerges. But that is something that I must say to my people who stand on the warm threshold which leads into the palace of justice. In the process of gaining our rightful place, we must not be guilty of wrongful deeds. Let us not seek to satisfy our thirst for freedom by drinking from the cup of bitterness and hatred. We must forever conduct our struggle on the high plane of dignity and discipline. We must not allow our creative protests to degenerate into physical violence. Again and again, we must rise to the majestic heights of meeting physical force with soul force. The marvelous new militancy which has engulfed the Negro community must not lead us to a distrust of all white people. For many of our white brothers, as evidenced by their presence here today, have come to realize that their destiny is tied up with our destiny. And they have come to realize that their freedom is inextricably bound to our freedom. We cannot walk alone. And as we walk, we must make the pledge that we shall always march ahead. We cannot turn back. There are those who are asking the devotees of civil rights, when will you be satisfied? We can never be satisfied as long as the Negro is the victim of the unspeakable horrors of police brutality. We can never be satisfied. As long as our bodies, heavy with the fatigue of travel, cannot gain lodging in the motels of the highways and the hotels of the cities. We cannot be satisfied as long as the Negro's basic mobility is from a smaller ghetto to a larger one. We can never be satisfied as long as our children are stripped of their selfhood and robbed of their dignity by signs stating for whites only. We cannot be satisfied as long as a Negro in Mississippi cannot vote and a Negro in New York believes he has nothing for which to vote. Yeah. No. No, we are not satisfied, and we will not be satisfied until justice rolls down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream. I am not unmindful that some of you have come here out of great trials and tribulations. Some of you have come fresh from narrow jail cells. Some of you have come from areas where your quest for freedom left you battered by the storms of persecution. Yes. And staggered by the winds of police brutality. You have been the veterans of creative suffering. Continue to work with the faith that unearned suffering is redemptive. Go back to Mississippi. Go back to Alabama. Go back to South Carolina. Go back to Georgia. Go back to Louisiana. Go back to the slums and ghettos of our northern cities. Knowing that somehow this situation can and will be changed. Yes. Let us not wallow in the valley of despair. I say to you today, my friend, so even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. Yeah. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. Yeah. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal. Yeah. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. A dream that one day down in Alabama with its vicious racist, with its governor having his lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification, one day right there in Alabama little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today. A dream that one day every valley shall be exalted, and every hill and mountain shall be made low, the rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. This is our hope. This is the faith that I go back to the South with. With this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope. With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day. This will be the day. This will be the day when all of God's children will be able to sing with new meaning, "My country, 'tis of thee." Sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride. From every mountainside, let freedom ring. And if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. And so let freedom ring. From the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire, let freedom ring. From the mighty mountains of New York, let freedom ring. From the heightening Alleghenies of Pennsylvania, let freedom ring. From the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado, let freedom ring. From the crevaceous slopes of California. But not only that, let freedom ring from Stone Mountain of Georgia. Let freedom ring from Lookout Mountain of Tennessee. Let freedom ring from every hill and molehill of Mississippi, from every mountainside. Let freedom ring. And when this happens, when we allow freedom ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, "Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last."
I know they see you when they want you. I know they see you when they want to make you who they want you to be. I know that life is trying to get you. I know that life is calling out to you by your name. But don't listen, resist it, keep running. Don't you stop for nothing, just keep kicking. Remember where you came from, don't forget what you already know. What you got is amazing, hold it, don't you let it go. You hold the light. You hold the light, you hold the light, and it's shining and making darker places brighter, you lighter. You hold the light, you got a lot, you bring a lot, and it's evident they can see it, they won't end it. But it's not for the taking, it's not for the changing, no, it's not for remixing, it's not for remaking, alright. So they lining up to take it, alright. I can't let them take my you, you know I ride for you, yeah. I won't let them take you. Your direction, yeah, I'll be your protector. You know I ride, I fight for you. I'll fight for you. I'll fight for you. You know I'm fighting cause I refuse to lose you. Fight for you. Fighting cause I refuse to lose you. Fight for you. I'll fight, you know I'm ready. That I'll fight for you. Situations will approach you. And opportunities to fade, shade, and downgrade will provoke you. And those you trust will start to turn to. So never pay too much attention to the things they say they won't do. And you gotta be persistent. And believe me, you ain't seen much, it's just the beginning. More walking, slow to speaking, but be quick to listen. Be mindful, you be vigilant and pay attention. Because you hold the light, you hold the light. You hold the light and it's shining and making darker places brighter, you lighter. You hold the light, you got a lot. You bring a lot, you bring a lot. And it's evident they can see it, they won't end it. But it's not for the taking, it's not for the changing. No, it's not for remixing, it's not for remaking, alright. So they lining up to take it, alright. I can't let them take my you, you know I ride for you. I won't let them take you. I'll be your direction, yeah, I'll be your protector. You know I ride, I fight for you. I'll fight for you. I'll fight for you. You know I'm fighting cause I refuse to lose you. Fighting cause I refuse to lose you. I'll fight, you know I'm ready. I'll fight for you. There's no need to worry about them let me downs. You can count them instinct the moment you let me round. I torched it, screenshotted and forced it to move off that groove and made on the porch of your heart. I knew from the start it was gonna be wars. The crowns we fighting for,
The thought of you free from danger, hurt, fear, depression, and anger, confusion, rage, and pain galore. Got me out here with my tools up, fighting with what I could use up. Lyrics on tracks with music, yeah, the pain came and the rain fell down, but I maintained through the skirmish. It's 'cause I love you, and you're worth it. Yeah, you could be anything to them, but to me, you're perfect. I fight for you, I'm right for you, I'm here on purpose.
And you know I fight for you, I'll fight for you, I'll fight for you. You know I'm fighting cause I refuse to lose you.
I'll fight for you,
fighting cause I refuse to lose you.
I'll fight for you,
I'll fight, you know I'm ready,
I'll
cause
I'll fight for you.
I won't let them take you, I won't let them
fight for you,
I won't let them take you. I'll be your protection,
fight for you,
I'll be your direction, yeah, I'll be your protector, you know.
Hard Knock Radio, East, West, Hard North, radio, South, man. Conectados. Every set, every hood, barrio to barrio.
And this is 94.1 KPFA, 89.3 KPFB in Berkeley, 88.1 KFCF in Fresno, and 97.5 K248BR in Santa Cruz, and online at kpfa.org. It's now 5 p.m. Please stay tuned up next as Flash.